Continue in prayer. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Grant us ears to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In the sixth month of the pregnancy of John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came and said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. He said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Mary does a fair amount of pondering, we read in chapter 1 and chapter 2. It's worth doing when God is at work. There's so much packed into these words between chapter 1, verse 26 and 38. We've been speaking over the past few weeks about the light of Christmas that God sheds on our world and into our lives. The first Sunday of Advent, we talked about the light of Christ coming to us in Christmas to give us second chances, to raise us up, to move forward yet again. Last week, we talked about the light that comes to us at Christmas that shines into the darkness of our world that we often think of as being around us, and it often is, but the darkness that we most need to deal with is the darkness within, and God gives us light through Jesus to shine even on our sin, our failings, to rise up anew to the life we were created to live. This week, we'll talk about the light that shines from God at Christmas on our call to rise up to live that life. What does it mean to live into the life that God has created us for? So let's look at these verses and look for that light that God has for us on the calling that each of us has in life. It's worth noting, first of all, the setup of this story. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, I'm always struck when I read that. We've heard already when we heard the story of Zechariah, this angel Gabriel, when Zechariah questions him, says, I stand in the presence of God. I mean, this is a mighty being, this majestic angel. But far more majestic than the angel Gabriel is the one who sends him. And it's worth noting that God is the one who is the prime actor in this story we're reading, and in the whole story of Scripture, and in the whole story of history. That God is the prime director and actor. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. We often think of our lives as our own stories. You know, this world is the story that's unfolding, and we hope that we can shape it the way we want to. But it's worth noting that God is the prime director and actor, the one weaving together all of our stories and all of history. And what we have the privilege of doing is entering into that greater story, of having our eyes and our ears attuned to what God would show us, as to what God is doing. God has already been working on this story centuries before. And here is the piece that pertains specifically to Mary. The angel is sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. And often I find myself, when I've been meditating on this passage, almost skipping over it. I get past it. Like, this angel was sent by God to a virgin. No. The angel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. It's worth taking a moment to notice that, because there's meaning in that part of the story. This town in Galilee called Nazareth is a backwater, tiny town in a place that's ethnically diverse, religiously diverse. It's the place that's looked down upon by the people in Jerusalem and Judea. It's the last place you would expect God to go, unless you've actually gotten to know the God of the Bible and realize that this is the God who goes to the lowest and to the least in the world. It's worth noting that the story unfolds in an unexpected place. He comes to a virgin engaged to a man of the house of David named Joseph. And again, this piece of the story is important. It ties into the prophecies of how God's Messiah will come out of the line of David. And we hear this word virgin mentioned twice in the story. Important both because it's historically true and because it's a prophecy of the Old Testament, but also worth noting that it sets us up to realize God is doing something impossible here. That when we think the story can't happen because our eyes can't see how it would happen, we need to realize that God, the primary director and actor of the story, is the one at work in our world and in our lives. Don't close doors that God might open. So now we have the setup for her story, but also the setup for our story. It's important for us to keep in mind as we reflect on our own lives, on our world, who it is that we're looking to, who it is that's weaving our story together with the other stories of this world. It's important for us to know and to listen for God's voice in the midst of the story God is weaving. And now comes the underlying message of the story. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." This is the underlying message of Christmas, isn't it? You found favor with God, that the Lord is with you. This isn't just the message for Mary. This is the message that comes to all the creation this Christmas. This light of Christmas shines upon us with this fundamental truth in our lives. And you see Mary almost, or the angel almost taking Mary by the collar. You know, and she's like, I don't quite get this. I'm not sure I'm understanding. Don't you understand? You found favor with God. Don't be afraid. I was speaking with a friend of mine this past week whose wife has been diagnosed with a really troubling illness, and he's very anxious about what the future will bring for her and for them. And we spoke about this passage and about how God comes to Mary through the angel and tells her, not just once, but twice over, this reverberating theme of the scriptures. You have found favor with God. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. And in our own lives, what might it be that we're facing, whether it be a great opportunity or a great challenge, the grief that many of us are feeling in this season, or the promise of the coming year? God comes to us and says this Christmas and every day of our lives, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. The Lord is with you. This is the fundamental truth that we need to hear. I think of Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And as I've been meditating on this passage, this verse keeps coming to my mind as I think about this word of Christ, this word of God that most needs to sink in to our hearts and our minds, to be a part of our spirit from our head down to the bottom of our toes. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. Let that dwell in you richly each day. And then the call comes. The light is shed on the path before Mary. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Do you hear this call for Mary? It's not so much a call for her to do great things for God. Do you notice that? It's not so much that Mary is called to do something great for God. It's that Mary is called to allow God to do something great for Mary, in Mary, and through Mary in the world. This is the distinction that we need to take note of when it comes to the call of God in our lives. That it's not so much that God is calling us to figure out what we should do, how we can do what God wants us to do it, but that we are invited to allow God to do his good work in and through us. To believe that God is, as Paul says, able to do abundantly far more than we could ask for or imagine. Do you see how this is what's happening for Mary? She can't make this happen, but she can say yes to God. And she can allow God to work out this story, to weave her story into what God is doing in the world. I think of those through the stories of Scripture who have allowed God to work out his call in their lives. of Abraham, who didn't come up with this great plan himself, wasn't sure where the path would lead, but said yes to God and took his next step on the path of God's call in his life, and then his next step and his next step, and allowed God to shed the light of the path of his call for him step by step through his life. Think of Moses, who didn't dream up freeing the Israelites from Egypt, but heard God's call and allowed God to lead him step by step and to work through him to free the Israelites. I think of Peter and Andrew when Jesus came to them and said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And they couldn't quite imagine how that could be, what that would look like, but they could say, "Yes, we'll follow you and let you make us fishers of men." Peter couldn't have imagined stepping up to speak to thousands of people and leading them to faith, or of what was happening when he was sitting on the roof in Jaffa, praying to God. And then days before he had ever begun to think about living out God's call of bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, God was at work among the Gentiles with Cornelius, having him send men to meet up with Peter. And when the time was right, God shed light on the path for Peter to go downstairs and meet these men and to go back to Cornelius's home. You know, over and over again, we can't see around that next corner. We don't know how God's work and his call in our lives is going to play out. It may seem impossible. It may not seem like it can be of any importance. And yet, step by step, when we say yes to God and to his call in our lives, we find ourselves moving forward into that story that God is weaving. And that's really what makes it exciting, because it's a greater story than we can dream up on our own. And while our part today may seem small or it may seem large, it's what God is doing. And the dream for us, the joy for us of being a part of that is what life is all about for us. Mary has her response. Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Pastor Ben, at our staff meeting earlier in the week, we were talking about this passage. He said, "I wonder how many times she had said that in her life already. You know, was that something she had been practicing in the little things, you know, the daily things in her life? Here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." It's the kind of attitude that can become a habit, the basis of our character. I think of what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. You know, having talked about God's story, God's working out his purpose, his mercy in our world and in our lives, how he says, "Therefore, I appeal to you, based on these mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, to present ourselves day by day to God, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." This is the path for us of living out this call, this life that God has created us for. And so I'd like to invite you in this coming week and in these days leading up to Christmas, each day to join Mary in practicing this word, praying that God would enable you and enable us to live as his servants in the world. "Let it be, O God, with me, according to your word." What might it be in your life? Where might it be that God is calling you to take that next step of faith? To believe the truth that he is with you, that he loves you, That he is at work in your weaknesses and through your strength. That he is at work in this world around you. And he wants you to be a part of that work that he's doing. I'd invite you to bow in prayer right now. And to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And to ask God. Well, to say to God, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And ask him to guide you as to what that word is, what that next step is for you this season. Let us pray. Lord God, in this passage and through the centuries, Mary has been called by many names. Various nations and ethnic groups and peoples have called her so many wonderful names. She has been a blessing, Lord God, to so many through the years. But today we hear the name that she gave herself. And we pray, O God, that we may claim that name as our own too. And that we might live out that name in our lives. As you weave, O God, our stories into the great redemptive work that you are doing in this world. We, O God, are your servants. Let it be with us according to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.